Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Tuesday, March the 11th, 2025. And thanks for listening to American Family Radio. Joining me in studio is Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning. Have we yet figured out who is in here before me? Because sometimes these chairs all the way to the floor.
Oh, the chairs?
Yeah.
There you go.
I just want to know who's in here before me.
Well, we have adjustable chairs in our studio, yes, and sometimes they're lowered to the floor. I don't know who did that to you. They must be trying to humble you, though.
I know. Yeah, it happens.
Hey, Fred Jackson, good morning.
Good morning. I'm in the high chair.
Yes, you.
I feel young.
Ray Pritchard, good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing today?
Doing well. Sorry I missed the show prep meeting this morning. I went to the doctor and he gave me a shot.
Are you feeling better since the shot?
I think so.
He's beefing up. They gave him a steroid.
Yeah, it was a steroid.
Nice. You're going to be flying high before the end of the program.
Well, like a lot of people right now, I don't know if it's allergies because the pollen or it's that sniffles, nasal stuff.
Well, you know?
The spring gunk.
Yeah. It won't go away.
Well, one day it's 35 and windy, and the next day it's 70. They're changing temperature.
It could be. Whatever it was, I said, you're going to have to give me something.
And fix this.
So I went to the doctor. I know nobody cares about this, but I'll share it with you anyway. Yesterday afternoon, so I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, no more monkey. No, I'm just kidding.
Yes, sir.
No more monkeys jumping on the bed. No, I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, I can give you this shot, and it'll help you. It's a steroid, but you're going to be up all night. And I said, what? I said, I don't want to be up all night. I think I got to drive to Birmingham this afternoon. I said, I don't want to be up all night and then crash tomorrow. I don't have a good record on highways and falling asleep as it is.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a point. That's a good point.
So I'll skip it. I'll come back in the morning talking about this morning. Said, we'll be here at 8 o'clock and we'll fix you up. So I went in and they took care of me and gave me a shot. So I don't know what it's going to do. Fred,
we're going to monitor you.
That's right. We're going to be watching you very closely.
I said, what did you just put in me? She said, yeah. I said, okay. All right. Well, but we do trust.
Yes.
You got to trust doctors. Don't you?
Well, and when we were joking this morning that when many of us, I know for me, when I was 10, 11, 12, and I had strep and they had to give me a steroid shot, the first time they said that, I had a lot of questions. I was playing sports at the time.
Right.
But then, of course.
What is this going to do to me?
That's right.
Okay.
What if I get tested?
It's going to make me hit the ball further. I'm all for it.
That's right.
Anyway, all right, Ray, give us a good word from the Bible this morning.
All right. This Bible quiz time for you guys. All right. Bible quiz time. Can you name the only two men in the Bible who were literally said of them, they walked with God? Two and only two men in the Bible were said to have literally walked with God, and they're back to back, chapter one, chapter and the other one, one in the next chapter.
I'll guess Ezekiel, Daniel.
That's a really, really good guess,
but it's wrong.
Not what I'm looking for.
I'm gonna guess Abraham's one.
Okay, that's very. He was called a friend of God, right? And God said, "Walk before me."
All right, Fred swung and missed. Tim swung and missed. Wesley, what do you got for us? Come on,
one of them starts with an N.
Yeah, okay. An M.
All right. Wasn't Nebuchadnezzar.
No.
Well, I was thinking, my first, I know this is not right, but it's just for point of conversation. My mind went to the Transfiguration.
Uh-huh.
But that's not, okay. I don't think that's going to be what you're talking. You're talking Old Testament.
Exactly. Go all the way back. I'm going to give you the book. See if you get the, both of them. In the book of Genesis, they show up. The only two guys who were actually said to have walked with God show up. Oh, I'm going to give it to you closer. In the first 11 chapters of the Bible.
Well, it's got to be Noah.
One's got to be Noah. Who's the other one? He walked with God, and he was not, because God took him.
Oh. They opened a whirlwind.
Yeah. Elijah.
Elijah's 1 Kings, Genesis 5, is Enoch.
Enoch.
Remember?
Yes. Right. Yes.
Okay. If I ask you, name the only two people in the Bible who never died. One was Elijah, and the other was Enoch. Okay?
Yeah. Okay.
So.
Gotcha.
I've been thinking about this. I'm preaching on those chapters in a couple of weeks down in Florida on Genesis 4, 5, and 6, kind of overlooked chapters of the Bible, and thinking about Enoch. It was said that Enoch walked with God. And we have to add, by faith, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, because God, he did not see death. Hebrews adds, he did not see death. God took him home. What does it mean to walk with God? I'm just going to give three suggestions. You could probably give 20. Three suggestions. It means to get up in the morning and say, Lord, wherever you lead me today, I will go with you. It means in the surprises of the day, thank you, Lord, because I still want to walk with you. And when you get to the end of the day, it's thanking the Lord for the good, the bad, the happy, the sad, the positive, and the negative, because it was God who led you all the way through this day. And guys, and ladies and gentlemen, listeners to AFR, let me say to you, walking with God is not about going to church, though we are 1,000% in favor of going to church. It's not even about reading your Bible, though we're 10,000% in favor of reading the Bible. Walking with God starts in your heart. Starts in your heart. When every day you say, Lord, it's a brand new day. I want to live for you today. I want to walk with you today. So lead me, Lord. I'll walk together with you where you are going. And if you approach every day with that attitude, you'll be able to lay your head down on your pillow at night and say, Lord, there have been some difficult moments, but to the best of my ability, you walked with me and I walked with you. And I thank you for this day. This is the key to happiness and blessing. And the Bible says Enoch did it by faith. So, friends, let's just make the decision that today we're going to walk with God wherever he leads. If we do that, we'll be happy when we lay our head down on the pillow and go to sleep tonight.
A common Bible verse that goes with that is, choose this day whom you will serve.
It's exactly the same idea, isn't it, Wes?
That's right. Exactly. Choose this day. Amen.
Yeah, you get up every morning and say, "Who? You know, I'm going to serve God today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get closer to God today.
Yep. Amen.
Amen. All right, Fred, what is our first worldly story?
Okay. Moments ago on his Truth Social Media, President Donald Trump announced that he's increasing the tariffs on Canadian steel and aluminum to 50%, from 25% to 50%. Here's the reason why. He is not happy with the Premier of Ontario, Canada. The Premier of Ontario, Canada announced yesterday, his name is Doug Ford, that he is placing a 25% tariff on the electricity that his province sends to Minnesota, Michigan, and New York. So if anybody thought there was, remember, Trump has talked about waiting for about a month or so to see how things go. Maybe they can work out a deal. Well, this morning, that all fell apart. And we know what has happened with the stock market in the last two or three days. The stock market has gone down hundreds of points, the Dow Jones. And I expect we're starting to see already, I believe, some negativity in the stock market based on what the president has just announced.
50%.
Whoa.
On what now? What kind of products?
Steel and aluminum? Steel and aluminum.
That's like almost everything, right?
Yeah, that's a big portion.
And did he put a timeline on this? Or is there until such and such?
I think the timeline is back off, Premier of Ontario.
Okay. So whenever he gets a response from him, he's okay, we can look to see.
Yep.
Okay, okay, Fred, I got a further question, because I'm looking at this, as soon as you said it, this same Truth Social post. He says Canada must immediately drop their anti-American farmer tariff of 250% to 390% on U.S. dairy products.
Yeah.
Is that true? Is that really what Canada's doing?
That goes back to the original concerns have voiced by the president, that there is a great trade imbalance caused by agricultural products coming in from the United States into Canada. So, yeah, this is all part of it. But this Truth Social note this morning is based on what Premier Ford of Ontario did in the last 24 hours.
You think he ran that by anybody, Dad, or you think he just sent the
Trump
post out? Yeah.
Trump doesn't run much of anything by anybody, I don't think. Now, I say that. He does listen to people.
Sure.
He has advisors and behind the scenes. But he, on this tariffs, I think he's going with his gut, and that's my opinion. And I think it's very risky, as I've said. He may prove to be right down the road that it's a financial boom for our country, but right now that the one of the reasons the stock market's diving is because of all the tariff talk.
Yes,
and so we'll see what happens there. Again, President Trump, as I've always agreed, he has pretty good political instincts.
Mm-hmm.
He's walking on a high wire.
Well, out of all the issues though that he's responsible for, do you think though that this is an area of more of an expertise for him as far as economy and as far as business dealings and things
like
that?
I do. I think he thinks he can out tariff Mexico and China and Canada and make them cry uncle. That's what he believes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, beyond that, you're getting I'm just going to tell you, I don't know enough to comment.
Right.
Except that when you start raising I know that tariffs are basically a tax on the producer in a country of a product. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
Which means if that stays in place, the cost of those products into the United States is going to be sky high. And if those products are necessities of life for us here, like steel and aluminum may be, and we get a lot of that from Canada, then the prices of your Coke can's going to go up. Your prices of your, you know what I'm saying? Now, I think Trump thinks, well, I can make these countries bend the knee.
Mm-hmm.
If I just keep raising the tariffs high enough. So, hey, Fred, any thoughts on that before we leave that topic here?
No, you're exactly right. What Trump is hoping, is basing these moves on, is that these countries will bend. He believes that they depend more on our products than
right.
than we do on their products.
Right.
That's what it comes down to.
Right. All right. Next topic.
Next topic. ICE was very busy in the Houston, Texas area last week. They arrested 646 people illegally in the country. And 543 of those already have charges against them. Let me just read through the list here. 140 of those charged or convicted of aggravated felonies or violent offenses, including homicide, aggravated assault, domestic violence. 34 of them charged or convicted of sex offenses or child sex offenses. 38 people convicted of illegal firearms offenses. 52 charged or convicted of narcotics offenses, 51 people charged or convicted of property crimes, 93 people charged or convicted of driving while intoxicated.
Are all these, I'm assuming all these are from different locations as far as where they immigrate or where they came from. Where they came from.
But they all came across the border and have been living in Houston, Texas.
Okay, so then the next step, they've rounded them up. I guess at this point, they send them on a bus or a plane, or how have they been?
Ship them out.
Ship them out?
Yep.
Gotcha.
Yep.
I don't know about you.
Not literally a ship, I don't think, right, Fred?
No, shipping them out by plane.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the way they've been going.
Deport them to their home country.
But that's just one city in 1 week.
My first reaction when I read that story, and there's another story that you sent around, Dad, about the border crossings down 99%.
Oh, yeah.
But when I border crossing being down was very, like, I'm pumped. I'm excited about that. But there's on this topic, there's very little that's more satisfying to me than to hear that they've actually arrested or detained illegal immigrants and are now sending them back. I mean, that just for the history of America moving forward, the damage that will already take place because of what Biden did by opening up the borders. Now that we're doing something about it, I actually feel like there's something to be salvaged, because most of the impact that's going to come from the 20 million people that came across, or whatever the number is, it varies depending on what site you look at. Between 15 and 20 million came across the border under Biden's administration, and the ripple effect, long-term effect of that, we were going to see much further down the road than more so than immediate. With nobody doing anything about it. But now with Tom Homan and Pete Hegseth and the Trump administration actually doing something about this, I actually feel like there's something we can salvage something out of this. And those stories are very satisfying. You said 600 and what?
646 in 1 week in one city.
In one city in 1 week.
Also, the note that you mentioned earlier that I sent around last night, the report was that the illegal border crossings have stopped. They just stopped.
It's the lowest. In fact, it said in the story that it's the lowest number of crossings since COVID when they shut the border down.
Yeah.
408 in the month of February is what that story said.
Yeah. You're listening to, well, one of the best comments that President Trump had in his speech to the Congress last week, Ray, was when he said, as it turns out, we didn't need a new law to stop illegal immigration. We just needed a new president.
That might have been his best line of the whole speech.
Yeah.
The speech was great, right?
Yeah.
Tremendous speech, but that might have been the best line.
We
didn't need a bunch of new laws. We just needed a new president.
Yeah.
And it took him, what, a month
to
make it happen. And did you say in February, 400 and something illegal crossings in a month?
In 1 month.
As opposed to thousands
under Joe Biden.
It shows that Biden could have stopped it if he wanted to. He didn't want to stop it.
No.
This is one of Trump's. No. He ran on this, and he has delivered early.
All right, I'm going to say something that people may say, well, can you prove that? Well, no, I can't prove it, but I'll tell you what I think, and I've mentioned this before. I think the goal of the Democrat Party, the reason Biden opened the floodgates and said everybody gets to come in, now he wouldn't have said it like that, but the reason he opened up the floodgates and said, and millions came into our country illegally during his administration, is because, I know this is going to sound sinister, is because the Democrats they think borders are immoral. Okay, they don't like borders. They're globalist.
Yes.
They don't, and they want to see as many people come here. Then they want to make them legal citizens so that they'll vote Democrat.
Yeah. Yes.
See how this works?
Yeah.
And so you let them in by the millions, and then they have children, and then you make them citizens. You'll start hearing a legal path to citizenship. You'll hear that a lot. Well, and then they are beholden, these people are, to the people who let them into the country.
Especially if they get them on welfare and socialized programs.
That's the reason. The reason that Biden and the Democrats wanted to let our country be flooded was because they want them to vote Democrat.
Yeah.
And therefore end the Republican Party as we know it.
And they don't believe, and I'm going to play some clip here, of Texas Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett.
Okay.
She's a Democrat, represents the Dallas area.
Okay.
She has come out and said, entering the U.S. illegally is not a crime. Cut two.
They continue to say things like the illegals and that they broke the law coming in. But what they're not telling the American people is that it is a civil violation. It is not a criminal violation to enter the country illegally. It's not a criminal. It's a crime. It's not a crime, which is why They're so frustrated because they really want our local law enforcement to go out and round up people when they could be looking out for the murderers and the sexual abusers, as well as the robbers. They want them to go and round people up on civil accusations.
I don't think that's true.
No, and
at all.
To your point, improper entry into the United States is considered a federal misdemeanor crime in violation of 8 U.S.C. 1325, punishable by fines and up to 6 months in jail for first-time offenders, repeat offenders. You go to prison for a long time.
See the attitude.
I think she knows that, though.
Well, you see the attitude she expressed, though?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was.
Her attitude was, I don't care. If they come here illegally, it's not a crime.
That's right.
That's the attitude of the Democrats.
That's right.
Yeah,
and furthermore, I don't know anywhere in the country where sheriff's departments or police departments are, quote, rounding them up just because people are here illegally. I think they're wanting to stop the criminal element there, but that's what ICE is going after.
That's the first step.
The criminal element. People who are committing violent crimes in particular. But she seems to take a very flippant attitude towards the whole...
Well, and also, too, like most...
Who was that we were listening to?
Jasmine Crockett. She's Democratic Congresswoman from the Dallas area.
Okay, go ahead, Wes.
And like most Democrats on this topic, she acts like you can't do two things at one time. I mean, obviously, they're not turning a blind eye to... American citizens who are committing crimes as well. In fact, that's the whole purpose of ICE.
Right.
ICE is designated for this subject, and that's what they're focusing on. So for her to say, they're trying to take all their resources and focus on rounding people up that came here illegally while also turning a blind eye to America.
That's a real crime.
Nobody's doing that.
No, that's true.
That's happening both ways.
No, I know. All right, let's take a break a little early here, and we'll be back with more of...
The steroid didn't work for you? Getting tired?
I don't know. Is it? I don't know. I hadn't felt anything
okay,
yet.
All right. We were just expecting you to come in here like
wired?
Yeah, like Mountain Dew.
Wall to wall? Bouncing off the ceiling? Yeah. That may happen.
It may kick in.
I don't know. Well, we'll see. But we will return with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Fred, Tim, Wesley, and Ray. We're going to be joined momentarily by Dr. Walter Windler. He's the president of West Texas A&M University. And a lot more topics to cover here on the program. Stay with us.
As we celebrate the many pro-life victories going forth, we rejoice. Preborn's network of clinics have a unique opportunity to advance even further without political persecution. What does this look like? Preborn is the greatest threat to the abortion industry. By rescuing, on average, 200 babies' lives a day, they are putting a serious dent into the abortion holocaust. But there are still thousands of babies who are slain daily, and Preborn's goal is to rescue them all. With the help of the pro-life community, meaning you, we can save so many more. Please join us in saving all of these precious lives. The ultrasound is the game changer. Once a mother hears that precious heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life. If you consider yourself pro-life, we need your help. One ultrasound is just $28. Five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 sponsors ultrasounds for the entire Preborn network for an entire day. How many lives can you save? Every child is a beautiful gift from God. Please join the cause. To donate securely, please dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Ephesians 1, verse 11.
American Family Radio.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back to today's issues. That's the name of this show on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Wesley and Fred and Ray, and we hope you're having a nice day. There are multiple ways you can watch this show and or listen to the show. Obviously, we podcast, so if you missed today's issues, you can just go to our podcast, afr.net, the website, and then you'll see the podcast. Click on podcast, and you can download it in seconds and listen to today's issues or any of our shows here on American Family Radio. So, we also video stream on YouTube. Just type in today's issues, and then Facebook. And then we also have it on X and also our own. Wesley, what's our own video streaming service if people want to watch the show there?
It's stream.afa.net.
Not screen.
No, you can scream, but if you
if
scream.
If you scream at the screen, people will start, won't know what's wrong with you, though.
That's right, especially if you're at work and you just start randomly screaming. So if you try that, it's not going to work. What you need to do is go is type in stream, S-T-R-E-A-M, stream.afa.net, stream.afa.net. There you can – I don't know why anybody would want to watch us, but you can.
Well, people do, though.
They do.
People tell me they watch us on YouTube and all over. And so – all right, a lot to talk about. More on the program today. We got many more topics to cover. Joining us right now, as he does every couple of months, is Dr. Walter Windler, president of West Texas A&M University, which is located in where, Wesley?
Texas.
Yeah, well, that's right, but West Texas.
West Texas, yeah. That's right. There you go. Yeah.
Good morning, Dr. Windler.
Good morning, Tim. Good morning.
Every time I think of West Texas, I think of that Marty Robbins song. Remember that song? You know what I'm talking about?
Here we go again. Yeah, this is where I tune out and get on my phone.
No. Right? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. But what's the name of it?
Dr. Windler, you know what I'm talking about?
I do, but I can't say the name of it, and I'm not going to sing because you guys will start screaming.
You're probably right.
Out in the West Texas town of El Paso.
You remember that?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Dr. Windler's not quite that far west.
That's right. No.
You're in the Amarillo area, right?
Absolutely. That's where we are. In the great city of Amarillo in the Texas Panhandle.
How long have you been at West Texas A&M University?
Well, I'm bucking the national odds. I've been here 9 years. I'm in my ninth year, and I've never held a job this long. As a matter of fact, if you looked at my resume, you'd say this guy can't keep a job. And there is some truth in that. But the bottom line is, I've been here 9 years, and I've enjoyed every minute of it. It's a great place to be. It's real American values up here, and people, it's a good place to be.
Yeah,
9 years.
Now, you are a part of the Texas A&M University system in the state of Texas, right?
That's correct. Right. There's 10 universities, and actually now I'm the longest-serving CEO at any of the universities.
How have you made it this long being a conservative?
It's funny. I don't know exactly how. I think it's by being honest about who I am and true to myself and true to my savior. There's something about that works here in West Texas. It doesn't work everywhere else. I'm not sure if it works all that well in Los Angeles or other places or New York, but it works here.
How many students do you guys have there?
About 9,200.
Wow.
So we're almost 10,000. So it's not a small school. It's kind of, it fits the definition of being mid-sized.
Yeah.
From universities around the country. But it is completely atypical, I think, of universities. We're in one of the most conservative parts of the state and in the United States. As a matter of fact, in the 21st century, in the presidential elections in the 21st century, so 04, 8, 12, 16, 20, and now 24, we have consistently in Randall County, where we're located, voted more conservatively, where conservative equals Republican, and you guys know that's not always the case, but where conservative equals Republican, we're almost 83% on the Republican side of the ticket, so we're very conservative.
Right.
And I'm not shy about telling people that because it's where we live, you know. It's where we are, and it's the people that come to school here.
Tell us about – you got something called the Hill Institute. What is that?
Okay, that's a newly established institute. We've been doing fundraising. We've raised about $23 million so far. Haven't done anything. We're still working on a board of directors. And the next time I'm on, I'll be able to talk to you about this board, and it will be you'll take note because we have very, very prominent people on this board. And what we're trying to do is promote conservative values that people of this strain of thinking believe are important. Things like trust and family life, hard work, regard for others, personal responsibility. My goodness, if there's an issue that I think faces modern American higher education is we don't put enough emphasis on personal responsibility. Mm-hmm. I mean, too many people are looking too hard for people to blame for things that they don't like. We talk about patriotism here and how important that is. The public exercise of virtue, open and free exercise of faith. I tell every student, whenever I talk to a group of students, do not check your faith, whatever it is. I don't care what it is. Do not check it at the campus gate. You bring that faith onto the campus and let that faith inform who you are intellectually. And again, I don't care what faith it is, but this denial that there is a side of life, a spiritual side, a metaphysical side, something beyond what we can see and observe, that affects how we think. And anybody that says it doesn't is lying. They're just lying. It affects how we think and what we think about. And I want people to bring that onto the campus and talk about it without shame or apology or anything else. Be who you are.
Hey, let me ask you this, Dr. Wendler. By the way, give your website, if you would, for the school.
Yes, I will. I will. It's WTAMU.edu. You type that into any browser, and it's going to come up. It'll come up. And by the way, if you're interested in the Hill Institute and what we're doing here, if you type Hill in the search bar after you get to WT, it'll pop right up. Okay. It's there, and there's a lot of stuff on that website.
We're talking to Dr. Walter Wendler, who's president of West Texas A&M University in the Amarillo area. Let me ask you this. There are a lot of kids about to graduate from high school, Dr. Wendler, right now. I mean, we're in March, April, May, and then they'll be graduating. And then they're looking forward to school, to continuing their education at a institute of higher education, as they say, junior college, senior college, whatever the case may be. What are maybe two things that you think as a parent you should help your student look out for in terms of where they're going to go to college? The reason I ask this is, how many horror stories have I heard and we've all heard about kids from Christian homes, and they're raised right, and they have come from a good family, a good church, and they get through high school, and then they go off to a college or university, and like within a couple semesters they're coming home questioning their faith or ridiculing their parents, right? Or you know, things that you just go, what happened to my kid? You want people to, yeah. I've always said, you know, you want to be challenged in your faith, and you want to have to live it out in maybe a not so easy environment sometimes. But at the same time, you don't want young impressionable freshmen, sophomores to come home and they're all of a sudden questioning their parents or God or the Bible and that kind of thing. Go ahead. Talk about that.
Well, you're right, Tim. You're absolutely right. And I think we, you know, we're trying to be mindful of that. That's why we tell people, bring your faith onto the campus. Don't try to hide it. And by the way, unfortunately, in many college classrooms, they get the feeling that their faith life is secondary to their intellectual life. Well, somebody should have told Paul that, or somebody should have told Isaac Newton that. Your faith life is not secondary to any aspect of your intellectual life. Those two things need to be integrated, and I encourage students to hold on to both tightly every chance I get. And by the way, not all the faculty agree with me. I had a couple of years ago, I canceled the drag show on the campus, and I had a no confidence vote taken by the faculty. And I lost. They didn't have any confidence in me. Well, fact of the matter is, I got a pretty good pay raise. I asked them the following year. I said, "Would you do that again?" It worked for me last time. I got a pay raise. But the bottom line is, I think we need to be honest to who we are, and as parents should try to ferret that out when they look for a college, a place to study. Is this place going to be respectful of who I am and what I believe? Because nobody anywhere has the right to be disrespectful of personal beliefs. I mean, we have to treat each other with dignity and respect. Matter of fact, I tell people on the campus all the time, and people sometimes, you know, they roll their eyes when I say this, but I want people at WT to live by the golden rule or the law of reciprocity, whatever anybody chooses to call it, but treat other people the way you want to be treated.
Amen.
I mean, this is simple. This is not rocket science, and we don't do it. Right, we have people that treat each other as fools, and I don't like it. Sometimes I deserve it, but I don't like it.
You said you canceled a drag queen show?
Yes, sir. 2 years ago, it's being argued in the Fifth Circuit Court right now. I don't talk about it much because the attorneys told me not to. But,
right. Well, we're not going to tell anybody.
As far as... No, I know.
I mean, on this radio show, everything's confident. Don't worry about it, you know?
Yeah, I knew that. But anyway, we did that. Now, I want to tell you one other thing because it's very important to me. When you're looking for a university, ask about the costs of education, the impact of borrowing, what the starting salaries might be in the area that you study in. And make sure you understand how all these pieces fit together, which is another way of saying don't overborrow. And if you go to a college and you talk to somebody on the campus and ask them about those kind of questions, say, well, any college education is worthwhile. Don't worry about the cost. Say to them, you're not being genuine with me. You're being disingenuous. The fact of the matter is the cost of the education and the potential workforce benefits that you get from that education, when it's complete, they're incredibly important. Because if you're saddled with debt, after you graduate, no telling how long it's going to take to pay it off. I read a statistic recently, you guys aren't going to believe this, but that 2 million people that receive Social Security checks have those checks garnished to pay for federally insured student loans.
Wow.
And if you're not looking at each other, kind of furrowing your brow right now, you didn't hear what I just said. People that are drawing Social Security, paying off student loans.
Right.
That's not college.
Uh-uh.
That's not right. Something's broken.
Yeah.
And we need to be honest. And I'm honest to a fault. I mean, I say it how I see it. That's one of the benefits of being an old codger like I am. I'm going to tell people what I really believe because I'm sincere about it. You know.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Ray Pritchard. Ray, you had a question for Dr. Windler?
I do. And Dr. Windler, let me say to our listeners, we could use, another 1,000 Dr. Windlers in every college and university of America. I've never actually heard a university president talk the way you're talking today. And it is so refreshing and so hopeful. And so thank you for being on with us today. Truly, This is wonderful. I want to ask you about the Hill Institute because your folks sent along the working draft document of the Hill Institute, and I think you need to tell us a little bit about that. And I'm looking down here. You've got there's sections in here on the values that the Hill Institute is in favor of, and you talk about patriotism and compatriotism and private and civic virtue. You have a chapter in here on hard work and on rugged individualism. That's the one. That's the one, Doc, that got me the most. Rugged individualism, a noble pursuit. So talk about the Hill Institute and what do you mean when you talk about rugged individualism? Because it sounds amazing.
Well, it is to me too, and I want to encourage people to stand on their own. I want people to pursue ideas, not ideology. And unfortunately, in American higher education, I saw it on the news last night. I saw it on the news, arresting people, you know, at a campus somewhere on the East Coast, demonstrating pro-Hamas ideas and being very strident about it. The fact of the matter is, that's not an idea. That's an ideology. And we need to be talking about ideas. I just think that people that have ideas need to be willing to stand up for them. Freedom and personal responsibility are absolutely essential in the functioning of a Republican form of government. And those two things, freedom and responsibility, we disconnect them all the time. We watch these fools on TV and sometimes on the radio, not you guys, of course, but sometimes on the radio, take exercise complete freedom in whatever they say, but they accept no responsibility for the impact of that free expression. Mm. And anarchy reigns when that goes on. It doesn't work. It's impossible to have a personal responsibility, and I see ultimately that becoming rugged individualism, which, by the way, in this part of Texas, where we produce singularly of any region in the United States, the most food, fuel, and fiber of any place, it takes rugged individuals to do that. You have to have an entrepreneurial spirit. I say to people, you have faith in God. I mean, who else is going to poke a hole in the ground and hope that oil comes out? I mean, you've got to know what you're doing. You've got to get good geologists and all that. But you also have to have faith that what you're doing has some value. The same thing with putting cows out in a pasture or steers out in a pasture. You've got to have a lot of faith to do that, and you have to be willing to take a risk.
Yeah.
Or planting cotton or whatever it is you do. And I think those values, quite frankly, are important in any part of the United States. I'm from New York originally, about 40 miles out on the North Shore of Long Island. And I tell people, if you give me a week on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, I'll find 100 students with parents who can write a check to pay for the whole thing that would want to come to a place like WT. And I'll tell you, it's because we adhere to values, the same values that American Family Radio, by and large, adheres to. And that is things like, you just read the list, right? You just read that list, and those values are important. And to me, the rugged individualism is the most important. Don't be worried about membership in a group. You know, stand on your own. Exercise your free will. C.S. Lewis said, famously for me, it's one of my favorite C.S. Lewis quotes, and I've got a number of them, but he said, you have never met a mere mortal. Because we're all made in God's image, all of us. And when you meet someone, you need to recognize that part of that person is made in the image of God. Sometimes it's hard to find that part. I work with some people sometimes where you've got to really excavate to get it. But it's there. And Lewis was correct. We're made in God's image. And I think we need to proclaim that. I talk about it. I write about it. I say it to faculty and students. And the beauty of this part of the world is, I'm going to say 60 or 70% generally agree with that. You know, they get it. And I'm going to say that in places on the East Coast, like where I'm from, I don't know that happens.
Yeah.
To the same extent, you know, same level.
Sure. Well, Dr. Wendler, we got to run, but thank you so much for your time and your comments. And we appreciate your work there at West Texas A&M University. And we look forward to visiting with you again sometime real soon.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. Thank you. Wish we had more like him.
I was going to say, yep. I wish we had more colleges like him, but I'm glad we got him. and got there and got
absolutely
West Texas A&M, and it's in where, Dad?
It's in the Amarillo area. Oh, I'm not sure out there.
You were serious. The joke was West Texas.
Yeah, well, West Texas. he's not in El Paso. That's not right. That far west. He's in West Texas. Anyway, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. That's the name of this show. Tim, Wesley, Fred, and Ray, what's your next topic, Fred?
Next topic is what's happening today. Speaking of universities, at Columbia University, students are going to be walking out again today.
What are they walking out for today, Fred?
This is the anti-Israel bunch. They are upset because yesterday or last weekend, ICE, immigration officials, arrested one Mahmoud Khalil. He is from Syria. He has been a student at Columbia, and they have identified him. And we're looking at a picture right now on one of our TV sets here. They've identified him as one of the ringleaders in the pro-Hamas, anti-Israel protests that we have seen, especially at Columbia University, although at other schools as well. Now, yesterday, a federal judge says that ICE had to hold off on deporting him, which is their intention, because he wants to give time for protests against deporting him. There are lawyers who are saying the United States cannot deport this guy. He is not a citizen of the United States. He is a green card holder. Well, Fox interviewed this morning constitutional law expert, and his name is Mr. Belkin. And he is saying it doesn't matter. He can have green cards all he wants, but if he's leading anti-Semitic protests on a U.S. campus, he can be deported. Cut number three.
I think ultimately the federal government has broad discretion to revoke a green card. And under these circumstances, with an individual who might have been actively promoting the interests of Hamas on an American university campus, I think President Trump is in the right.
That was constitutional law expert Ken Belkin.
It's almost kind of like you lose that right when you do that.
Well, I read some about green cards and what you agree to when you accept a green card, which means you're a guest in that country, right?
Yes.
The United States. You're not a citizen yet.
No.
Although many people who get green cards do apply for citizenship. But you can't. One of the things you agree to, I think I'm right on this, Fred, is you agree not to be a instigator or a social agitator.
You agree that you're not going to break the laws of the land. And promoting anti-Semitism is against the laws of the land.
Right. And if you're promoting Hamas, Hamas is an internationally, or at least an American-recognized terrorist organization.
Yes.
So
it's very simple.
Yes.
Yeah. And so this fella here, I don't know what will happen. He's a judge is intervening on his behalf right now.
Well, just the judge has said, I want to have a complete hearing. Hear the arguments from both sides before any deportation orders are activated.
But what this will do, Ray, this will make these pro-Hamas, anti-Israel, anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish agitators on college campuses in particular second guess whether they want to get directly involved in this if, in fact, they're not a U.S. citizen.
Look, the green card is given as a
courtesy.
It's a gift. Yeah, thank you. That's the word. It's a courtesy. We're allowing you to come in and stay, even though you are not a citizen. Break the rules and you leave. What's hard about this?
Yeah.
Right.
What is this is not difficult. I'm sure the constitutional lawyer is exactly right. Trump's going to win this one easily in the court.
Well, it's a scandal what's been going on at these universities. Jewish students, when these protests broke out at Columbia and at Harvard, Jewish students were told to stay home. Don't even come on the campus. Can you imagine any other group of students being told, hey, there's going to be protests today. We want you guys to stay away from the campus. This is ridiculous. And that's why the Attorney General's Department, under the leadership, one division there, of senior counsel to the Assistant Attorney General for Civil Rights, Leo Terrell, if you watch Fox, you've seen him through the years. And he says the Justice Department is going after these college protesters. Cut number five.
I am telling those 10 schools, we're going to use every tool in the AG's toolbox to go after you, to make you treat Jewish American students fairly and equally and eliminate anti-Semitism.
And that's the bottom line in this, anti-Semitism. And what he's saying is 10 schools. The Justice Department has identified 10 schools that they are investigating for allowing anti-Semitism to exist.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm reading the story here. Now, does Tom Holman, has he commented on
this? He's commented on the green card argument.
Yeah.
And he's saying there's no way. If they are promoting anti-Semitism, that is against the laws in this country. We're going to deport you. We don't care if you have a green card or not.
Yeah, and you know, for me, though, that's obviously, I mean, well, that's the law, and so obviously I support that. But furthermore, to what Dad mentioned would be right above that for me, and that's that if you're supporting a terrorist group and you're advocating for more terrorism, that's enough in and of itself, regardless of who it's towards.
Well, I would take it even further. If you're a citizen of the United States and you're promoting anti-Semitism on a campus, you ought to be thrown off.
You too. Yeah. Yep.
You ought to be thrown off the campus.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a short time out right here. Fred, how do you really feel about that, though? I don't know if...
Well, that's going to be recorded. We can go back and listen if we need to.
I say it without apology.
Okay. Good. All right. So what was your trivia question about the Bible? Who were the two men who walked with God?
Enoch and Noah.
Oh, Ray. Ray went.
Let me be Ray for a second.
Ray went to get coffee or something. So he can't even hear what I just asked. It was Enoch and
Noah.
And Noah. That walked with God.
Walked with God.
That was the question.
And yeah. Enoch was one of the two that was never experienced death either.
He was taken.
He was taken.
We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.